Okay, there was a little mix-up. I thought Mike was up. Mike thought I was up, so I didn't prepare nothing, so I'm going to tell Boudreaux jokes the whole hour. I'm going to really punish y'all. How's that? Boudreaux. Thibodeau. Went out hunting. Thibodeau said, man, I got this new dog, Boudreaux. He said, we're going to kill all the ducks we need because this dog will tell you how many ducks he would. Boudreaux said, no way. So, man, they go hunting. Thibodeau said, Joe, how many ducks in that pond? He come back, ruff, 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 ruff. Said, it's five. Sure enough, five ducks. Go to the next pond, same thing, five ducks. Boudreaux said, Thibodeau, would you sell me that dog? He said, man, I'm not selling this. He said, I'll give you $1,000. He thought about it, he said, $1,000? Okay, all right. Boudreaux takes him out the next door, next day, tells him, how many ducks in that pond? Dog run, he came back, and he's got a stick in his mouth, and he's just shaking it. Boudreaux said, wait a minute. Let me give him another chance. How many ducks in that pond? He go and he grab another stick and he come back. Boudreaux said, I'm going to get my money back. So he shoots the dog. Go and tell Thibodeau, give me my money back. He said, well, what happened? He said, this dog didn't count no dog. He said, I gave him two chances. He came back shaking a stick. He said, he was trying to tell you, stupid, there's more ducks than you can shake a stick at. Y'all kind of slow. What? Y'all got it? You know, like shake a stick? Like mama used to shake a stick at us when we did something wrong? But what about ducks? Anyway, the age-old question is, first of all, let me make y'all laugh. This is not a joke. I was watching Mike Somoza's guy this morning. What's his name? Billy Taylor. David Taylor. He's the guy that if you pay him enough money, somebody chuckle already. If you pay him enough money, he can get you a personal appearance from Jesus Christ. He will come down and he will visit you. Guaranteed. He said, they saw him last week walking the streets of Chicago. I said, only Jesus could get away with that. But anyway, the Christian life. We know what salvation is, but the ancient old story and why people want to hang on to rules, regulation, and laws, because you can measure that stuff. We was talking this morning in the back about, you know, the religion of works. And that's just about every one of them except true Christianity. You got to do something or you got to not do something to earn eternal life. However, if grace is unmerited, you can't earn it, then what do? You buy a couple of dollars worth of grace, it's a free gift. But people have asked me over and over, well, if I believe what you're teaching, what about the Christian life? Well, the one who gave it wants to live it. That's how simple it is. And he left us instructions of how to do it. It's written word. When Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Christ could have told him, you're looking at truth. I'm the one, I came to give my life for everyone that would believe that I died for their sins. And that given life, it's the life that you live through the spirit that God gives you the moment you believe. You believe, you're baptized into the body by the Spirit, and the Spirit is life. That's your eternal life. That's your temporal life. That is your physical life while you're here on earth. You want to live the Christian life, stop trying to live the Christian life, recognize you can't live the Christian life, and recognize the one that gave the Christian life is the only one that can live the Christian life, and that's through the Spirit. Now let's dissect this. God gives us His Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 says there's how many spirits? One Spirit, right? So that one and that self-same Spirit that lives on the inside of you is the one that composed the Word of God through man, right? So now, will that same Spirit interpret what He wrote, enabling us to live the Christian life? Of course He will. God would be a fraud if that wasn't true, right? He who have the Son have life, right? If that life resurrected you from the dead, it can stop you from living, putting a bunch of dead stuff into that life that He called you to. With that mind, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, it's amazing what I notice about the epistles, especially Paul's epistles. He seemed to always give us the answer before he gave us the problem. Romans chapter 1, you have to turn there, where he talks about being a debtor. He's not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believes. Well, that came way before you read the problems that was wrong with man, the whoremongering and all that stuff later on in chapter 1. So Paul said, here's the solution. Keep reading, you're going to find the problem, or you're going to find the question. Does the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes this, 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that you had believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise and glory to God, or the glory of God. Not of me, not of you. Now, Paul just laid out, this is salvation, right? Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Solution, then the question, or then the problem. You know, in school, that would have been nice. I'm going to give you the answer to the problem before I give you the problem, all right? In Ephesians chapter 2, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who were dead in trespasses and sins? Well, I just told you that you believe the gospel, you're no longer dead in trespasses and sins, right? Answer, now here was the question, and now watch, what about living a Christian life? He says this, when time passed, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Well, that's your walk. This is how you used to walk, as the children of disobedience, because your father were the devil, right? But now your father is, so how are you going to walk? Well, you're going to walk like Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 3, by constantly renewing your mind, what? With the word of God. That's how you're going to walk. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. He goes on, you know, I call this the before and after. Kind of like Paul, the before and after. Kind of like Peter, the before and after. I call it 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd Paul. This is what I used to be. This is who I am. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Talking about former and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled you. Were past tense, you were, that's no longer you, Paul says. And you know, if you read the rest of Ephesians, he's going to give you more of the answer. Like Colossians chapter 2, verses 13, he talks about you being dead in trespasses and sins. Again, he made you alive, forgiving you all trespasses. That's the new me. So if he's forgiven me all trespasses, what common sense would tell me through the Spirit, that I want to go back and dig up those trespasses and start to live in them like I used to, right? So living the Christian life is knowing what a Christian truly is. I am the life of Christ. That's what our eternal life is him giving us himself that we might represent him. Not walk into the course of this world like we used to in times past. But why would Paul say in time past? Because in time present and in time future, we are a brand new creation, right? No longer walking that way. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You say, well, man, how do I live the Christian life? You simply live it by what the Spirit of God has written. And the Spirit of God that lives in you and live in me can interpret those words. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians, the natural man cannot understand the things of God, right? Because they're spiritually discerned. He has no living spirit on the inside of him. So now we've got a living spirit on the inside of us. We've been empowered to live the Christian life. And power is nothing but God's authority. God's authority said, hey, this, here's what you do. The things that you used to do, don't do it. Put on the new man. Many times Paul used that term, put on the new man, who had been recreated in what? True holiness and righteousness and justification and sanctification and glorification. You can take it all the way to the end, because that's what God has done for you. So I ask many people, if I get in a brawl in the middle of Home Depot, and somebody walk in, and I ask them, can I share the gospel with you? They probably look at me like I'm stupid. You gonna share what with me? The gospel didn't stop you from punching that guy out. But he said something to me. He said, well, yeah, but the gospel say, go the second mile, not just the first. Hebrews chapter 10. Say, man, how do I live the Christian life? 38. 10:38. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, thy soul should have no pleasure in him. So how do we live? By faith. Substitute a word. By believing. Believing what? Everything that proceeded from the mouth of God, that pertains to us, that pertains to life and godliness. That's how we live the Christian life. It's not hard for me and you. It's impossible. But for God himself, who lives on the inside of us, it's a small task. But you see, there's the struggle. God is fighting two battles. The old man versus the new man, right? The flesh always wants to react the way it wants to react. I noticed that with my girlfriend, not me. Because I'm good. It's just her. You know, why are you screaming at me? Why are you screaming at me? Why not just be quiet and say, okay, whatever? Of course, that makes it worse a lot of times. You know, you guys, you've tried that, right? Terry, you tried that one, right? Did it work? Oh, you're making fun of me. That's what mine was. Oh, I guess I'm funny. Anyway, and then I'll say something stupid and things are all right a couple of weeks down the road. But living a Christian life is a responsibility of the one who gave it. Because I know exactly what it is. And he's going to search the deep things of the Spirit. He's going to search the deep things of the Word. Why do you think people look at you like you're crazy when you share the gospel? Why do you think they call it stupid? They can't understand it, you know, unless you break it down very, very gently and let them know, hey, man, the bottom line here is you're a sinner. So am I. The difference between me and you, I have life. I'm a sinner when I'm disobedient. You're a sinner because you've never accepted the gospel truth. But God, the Spirit, think about it. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead raises you and me up the moment we believe. Ain't but one. You say, oh, that was another Spirit. No, ain't but one Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Just one. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, don't turn that, but you know where he talks about these people going back, want to go back to the temple to bring sacrifices just in case that one perfect one wasn't enough. It's an oxymoronic statement, isn't it? That one perfect sacrifice wasn't enough. We're going to go back to the temple. And the writer of Hebrews says, well, okay, if you're going back to under the law, remember, as Mike pointed out a couple of weeks ago, you're going back to Moses' law. What happened under two or three witnesses? Well, you'd get stoned or whatever. And if you go back and read a little bit further in Hebrews chapter 10, there are three witnesses to the gospel of the grace of God. The writer of Hebrews said the Spirit bore witness of the Father and of the Son. So you're denying these three witnesses, but you want to go back to Moses' law and use. So you see where it just make no sense whatsoever to walk away from the promise of God. If God gave us life, he can live this life. And many times we give it to God. Well, it's been 2 hours. Been a day. Been 3 days. What you gonna do? God said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do in my time. So you get a lesson from it and you just be happy-go-lucky. Because the God who promised, who cannot lie, will do what he say he's going to do. Maybe not in our time, but he's going to do it. But living a Christian life, like I say, it's impossible for me and you. Look in Ephesians, back to the book of Ephesians, where we started. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse It's not a question a Christian can't ask that you can't find the answer in the Word of God. You know, God is much smarter than us, so he wouldn't make it complicated because, you know, we're so stupid. As Vernon McGee says, he's going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Religion only feeds giraffes. And they never get it. Never, ever get it. Paul calls it ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, because you don't have the living spirit on the inside of you to discern the Word of God. So you believe what you're taught. I was watching this morning, and I promise you, I'm flicking. And all but one station was heretical. All but one. I mean, Osteen, Mitch Parkwa, you name him. You name one heretical guy he was on. Mike Murdoch. Mike, you know the guy you send the money to. The only half-straight doctrine was Jeffries out of Dallas. I mean, channel after channel. I'm talking about religious channel. Now, what you think the problem is? Ever learning, and you can't come to the knowledge of truth because you don't have truth living in you, which is the Spirit of God, which is your life. Everything in those circumstances, it's about this world. Let's just have our Rolls Royces, do a little bit to improve this world. In other words, as Greg used to say, let's rearrange the furniture on the Titanic. Man, that sure looked good. Look at that furniture, man. But it's now it's starting to slide a little bit. I wonder what's going on. You can only have life, or you can only learn about life if you got life living on the inside of you. It is the Spirit of God. That's the truth. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, watch what Paul says here. Now, this is what the Spirit tells us, because he wrote this through Paul. Paul is just a secretary. Well, Paul hired somebody, because I don't think you can see that good. But anyway, the Spirit says this, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not in my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Watch this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Where's our strength going to come from? The God that lives on the inside of us. That's what Paul is talking about when he said learn what it means to be metamorphosized in Romans chapter 12. That you used to be a worm. Now you're a butterfly. Stop crawling and fly. So you lived a Christian life. Strengthened with might in the inner man. With what he wrote. He wrote for the sole purpose that we could have it. By saying these last days he has spoken. Ain't no more revelation, whatever. You open this book and you glean from it through the Spirit, I guarantee you God will empower you to live the life. I'm not preaching at y'all, I'm preaching at myself. I hope y'all get something from me preaching at myself. So I have to always tell myself this. Learn to learn the things that God would have us to do. You got to get it from the Word of God. And he tells us what that is in Philippians. You don't have to turn there. Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to do of his good pleasures. Why? By the inner man. Hebrews 13 says basically the same thing. He will work in you to do of his good pleasure, do of his will. That's how we live the Christian life. How do we get the Christian life? By trusting him. How do you live the Christian life? By trusting him to live it. Paul says, you receive Christ, therefore walk ye in him. How'd you receive him? By faith or by believing. How do you walk in it? By believing. It is so complicated and so hard for us because we try and pull it off ourselves. Cling to the vine. Learn how to be a fruit bearer and not a fruit producer, because it's artificial when we produce it. Or it's just plain rotten. But if you're dependent on the vine that goes to the root and let the sap flow up through the vine, you're just a fruit that's just hanging there, and all you're doing is bearing. Not producing nothing. Show me one orange that can produce itself. And I guarantee you, the Jews knew what this meant. The vine, the vine, the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. How many religions y'all know, without a show of hands, reverse that role? We are the vine, religion says. Why would somebody drink poison Kool-Aid? It takes more faith to do that than it takes to believe in Christ, right? Because you got to know you're going to soon take your last breath. And you got to believe you're going to be where this guy say you're going to be. And have not done the research for yourself. But it's too late once you... I guarantee you, everybody that went to hell with him probably end up beating the hell out of him. I remember witnessing to a guy I used to work with, and he's always talking about his religion and told me how critical I was of his religion. And I never was. All I showed him was what the scripture says. And I asked him, I said, well, you believe what you believe? Do you share that with your kids? He said, yes. I said, what if you wake up in hell and the guy that taught you that is right next to you and your two kids? And I said, oh, you just investigate. You don't have to believe what I say. Just investigate. See if this got any merit. See if this, you know. And I said, you think about it. What I'm sharing with you come from the same word that says, wants to die, then the judgment. We know that part of it is true. Tell guys at the prison that. When I get the Muslims or whatever, and I share with them, I say, well, let's do side by side. You open the Quran, and you can read me any surah that would overshadow what I know from the scripture, and I follow you. What do you mean? And you always got my little cheat sheets. Here's what God says, way back some 7,000 years before Christ came. Here's what God said this, and God said this, God said this, and you come all the way over some thousands of years ago, and it happened just like that. I said, so why wouldn't I believe once to die, then the judgment? And I said, what judgment? What is the judgment? See, you 10 versions, that's the judgment? And what if you get there and the 10 virgins are 10 virgin men? I mean, think about it. It's all about the fleshly stuff. And some of these people are the most well-behaved people in the world because they think they're earning merit points. I mean, I'm earning points, and God's going to consider me when I stand at the pearly gates, and he's going to say, man, you did this and you did that. And it's going to be like, what was his name on Amos and Andy? Some of y'all are too young to know that. Me and Terry probably don't know somebody. But he'd give direction, and he'd say, well, You gotta go this away. I said, and God's gonna tell you gotta go this away. You know, you can't stand before God with not one sin. One sin you ever committed. You can't stand before him. And he said, oh, well, you say that God don't impute sin. He don't. But the problem is, if you never received him, you never got out of a dead state. We just read in Ephesians, and you were dead. You've got to come alive, and the only way you can be made alive is through the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. That's the solution, whatever your question is. That's just, if you don't think it's real, turn on the evening news. What happened on Bourbon Street? That's what evil looks like, but people call that good. That's religion. God don't know the infidel, so I got to go and point them out to him. See, because I know the infidel. I know him, but he's been divorced. He had all kinds of problems, but he's not an infidel. Or maybe I can get God to overlook my infidelity. Is that a word? If I go and kill 15 real infidels. Religion is crazy. It can't work. It's got no life in it. Life is the Spirit of God that lives inside of every believer. And you can only get it through Christ. And you can only live it through Christ. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him. Why? Because he gave us his likeness and his spirit. When Christ, who is my life, appear, who is my life, and that's whole life. He is my, that's the only insurance that covers whole life. I tell people all the time, God don't sell fire insurance. He really don't. He give away life insurance that cover fire. I want to give you some life insurance. And our life assurance. The God who promised eternal life, who cannot lie, is the God that promised to live that life through us while we're here, through the Spirit. This ain't complicated. God said, if you can live the Christian life without me, have at it. It'll never work. Never, ever work. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. This is This is what the Spirit is saying. We started this in Ephesians. You trusted, you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Until when? Till I come back for you. I've already bought you, and I'm coming back for my purchase possession sooner or later, and I hope it's sooner. I'm going to come back and get you because you're sealed. I'm coming back to get you. And look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul said, man, being armed with all this, here's something to hang your hat on. Paul said, you got all this, so here's what I want you to do. Be not henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby we lay in wait to deceive. How many Christians you know? This Sunday they're over here. Next Sunday they're over here. I've experienced this firsthand. Oh, I found this church, man. And see them 2 months later. Oh, well, I find. You see them a month, 3 months. Oh, well, how many churches? Every wind of doctrine. And we said salvation by grace through faith. Now we're in. Okay, if I'm in, I'm sealed. I don't care how sleight of hand you are. You're not going to convince me to send you a seed that I might receive a seed. You're not going to convince me that I need to do two of these and four of them. You're just not going to convince me of that. You know, I've invited people here. How's the music? Y'all got a choir? No, but we got a lot of word. Oh. Every wind of doctrine. I'm going over here because they speak in tongues. Craig, you know about that. Say something in tongues. Oh, okay. But y'all laughing. You know, I'm going, man, where the gifts still flow. Craig used to say, how do they flow? What you talking about? Because somebody's going to come down and lay hands and prophesy and tell you always about money. That a check is in the mail. The best ones, God's going to cancel your mortgage. Y'all laughing. Y'all don't watch that. Y'all must not get bored sometime and it's better than watching comedians. And I mean, you have people in lines coming up testifying. I had an $80,000 mortgage gone. Bank wrote me and said, you owe me nothing. How could that happen? This ain't spiritual. This is just common sense. Chase didn't cancel mine until I made the last payment. Oh, they did, because I think they sent me $10 back. Overpaid by $10. So I guess that was my cancellation. That you think? But how many denominations? When Cindy, you remember when Greg had the debate with Mitch Pacwa? How many denominations Pacwa say it was? 14,000 or something like that? Yeah, he said, study from Harvard. I don't know if it's 14,000, but there's a whole lot of denominations. And why do you think that that's so? Because we believe this, they believe that, you believe this, I believe this, and most of them leave out the gospel. Oh, they may throw it in as a sidebar. Listen to Jesse the Planets on Sunday morning and how much gospel you hear. But his new plane is on order. I mean, was on audit. He's got it now. Now, who does that? Who would send $500 toward a brand new plane so we can bring the gospel throughout the world? Well, you ain't bringing the gospel to New Orleans, so how you gonna bring it to the rest of the world? Mike, you ever heard the gospel? I mean, every so often they throw something in, and I'm going, well, why don't you just do that every week? Because it kind of diminishes my power. If I get you immersed in the Word of God and you let the Spirit of God teach you, train you, you ain't going to need me. Can't have that. My budget would be shot. Can't get you to sow a seed. Can't get you to... But that's what Christianity is. Well, that's what mock Christianity is today. And Paul says, look, man, watch them. They full of craftiness. They come in, they teach law. They teach touch not, taste not, handle not. They teach observing of days. They teach, Paul said, watch them. They teach all this stuff, which is all to perish with the using. It's going to burn up with this earth. It's not eternal. It don't last. The gospel is everlasting. So that's why we strive to live the Christian life the way it's prescribed. And Ephesians chapter 5, the whole book of Ephesians, first couple of chapters talk about possession. This is your possession. The latter part of it talks about lifestyle. The very last chapter tells us about the weaponry we got. Here's what you got to live the Christian life. In other words, the Spirit will, you know, you got the prayer, you got the helmet of salvation, you got all this stuff. Let the Spirit teach you how to use it. Because you come out wailing that thing without the Spirit, you're going to hurt somebody. Ephesians chapter 5, look in verse 8. And Paul makes it so simple. Verse 8, it says, you were sometime darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the Spirit is in all, for the Spirit that lives on the inside of you, it's all goodness and righteousness and truth. Man, our life is pretty good, isn't it? Because you got the Spirit that can lead us into what? All righteousness, all light, and all truth. Nothing hate light worse than darkness. And sometimes you were in darkness. Now we can recognize darkness, right? In the Gospel of John, he says, light came into the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. Why? Because their deeds were evil. I don't want to give up the darkness. I want to stay right here. Give me some religion and leave me alone. Now, they don't think it's religion, but it's just a way of doing what I want to do and stay tight with God. That's what they think. But John also says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. He brought them to the light. I guarantee y'all know what darkness is. And that's what light does. Sheds light on darkness. I know lying is darkness. I know stealing is darkness. That's why Paul, a little bit further over, says, put on the new man. What that means, Paul, well, I said, okay, let me explain to you. You want a word study? Let me give you a word study on it. Put on the new man that have been recreated in what? Righteousness, right? Okay, what does that mean, Paul? If you've been stealing, cut it out. Get a job. Work with your hands. So you might be able to help somebody else. It's not hard. We know that that's good fruit, right? How many people you know that would tell you, man, I prayed this morning, I asked God, Lord, I want to hold up this bank. If it's your will, please provide me with a gun, provide me with a getaway car, and provide me with a good lawyer. And Mike is on the waiting for him. How many people you ever know did that? I was talking eavesdropping on two young girls. One of them was pregnant. And she said that she was thinking about having an abortion, but she got to pray about it. And I got in her business. I said, that's a great idea. Pray about it. And whatever God tells you to do, do it. She looked at me like, I said, yeah, if he tell you, I said, he said thou shalt not murder, but if he tell you to have an abortion, go ahead and have it. Didn't slam her, didn't beat up on her and say, you stupid, which I thought it was a stupid thought. But if God said yes, go ahead and do it and feel free. Because God told you to do it. Now you think he might tell you to do it? She said, no, sir. Man, it's true. God has given us all of it that we need. Point blank. Through his word. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 and I close. Now here's Paul. Here's the church slayer. Here's the guy that said you believe the law or you're going to join your maker. That's what Paul was. That's what Paul used to be. Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 1. I think it's Colossians chapter 1. That's what I got down here. If I'm wrong, I'll just read it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Does it start whom we preach? That's the way it starts. Hey, I told you I was right. By whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I, this is Paul, labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So who's doing the work in Paul? Or who did the work in Paul? God the Spirit, right? So does God has a respecter, a person? Would he do for Paul and not do for you? Paul said, it's God that works in me mightily. That's how I could take the 39 lashes. That's why I could go to jail in just about every town I went into. That's why I could write half of my New Testament scripture from jail. Because I had learned to be content no matter where I was. Because I know who I am now. I'm not who I was. I don't retaliate. I let the one that lives in me be the retaliator. Let him be the one that take vengeance on you, and I'm not doing that anymore. I'm trusting him. He's my strength. Apart from him, I can do nothing. With him, I can do all things. That's where my strength is. My strength is in him who lives on the inside of me. Point blank, no amendments. That's it. That's why Paul said, I glory in the cross. Paul, why would you glory in such a cruel thing? Paul said, it had to be, because if it wasn't, Paul would be in hell right now. And if it wasn't, when we close our eyes, we would be in hell. But God so worked it out. It's like the youngster says today. God says, I got this. I got it. And to be honest with you, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, whether you believe it or not, he got it. What I teach, what I preach is based on his faithfulness. I take my little mustard seed grain of faith and I attach it to his faithfulness, and that's the thing that gets me through. Cannot lie. God who cannot lie. I give you a life that only I can live. Think about it. If you allow me to live it, guess what? You don't have a whole bunch of rewards when you get the judgment seat of Christ. But if you don't, as Darrell used to say, you're gonna have it's gonna be like a fire sale, right? Well, Lord, I thought. Well, no, you just didn't listen. Anyway, God's got it. God's got this. He's got me. He's got you. Should I pray first, Mr. Ken, or you want to? Get on your job, man.